Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Gather in, all who live in God's shadow. We've come to worship the one in whom we trust. No need to fear, for God is our dwelling place. We rejoice in the ways we're held close. We're not left to face trouble alone. So we share our confidence. God's faithfulness stands for all time. Our affirmation of faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in our example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 91st Psalm, verses 1 through 6, and then 14 through 16. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. shall never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the 16th chapter of Luke, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God given to us, the people of God and the world. Thanks be to God. As a child, Alice Gahana survived two concentration camps during the Holocaust, an amazing feat indeed. Asked what she remembered most, she replied, "The empty windows." German soldiers came to her little village when she was just 9 years old and told her family to come to the village square. "I walked that morning carrying my suitcase down our cobblestone street, the street that I had walked all my life. But as I walked down the street, I noticed the windows were empty. No one came to the windows. My friends and neighbors knew what was happening, but nobody came to the windows to see what was happening to me. To be left alone in this world is the most horrible of all plights. To feel as if no one cares about us can be like hell itself. To be separated from any sort of love, well, I suppose that is hell, is it not? Even worse than the pain and the torture of a concentration camp itself. Have you ever felt as if no one cared about you? Have you ever experienced that deep, dark chasm of utter aloneness? We are, indeed, our brother and sister's keeper. And Jesus makes this fact very clear in our gospel lesson this morning. This parable is not just a morality tale about riches and poverty, though it should be read that way as well. No, it goes much deeper than that. It's about indifference, selfishness, and what it really means to love God and love our neighbor as ourself, which is the greatest commandment. Everything else falls in line if that one is fulfilled. Our love for God and for others means more than not harming others. In order for love to be real, it must reach out actively. Love requires that we help other people. In Jesus' parable, Abraham says, "Between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. That chasm is created by the indifference of one person for another. The rich man in the parable lived behind a wall of indifference. He didn't do any direct harm to Lazarus. He just didn't do anything, which in a very real sense means that he did do a whole lot of harm. For to be avoided, overlooked, ignored, or unloved is the greatest threat to our survival as a species. Recently, I watched a video about the importance of relationships. Maybe you've seen or heard of it as well. And in that video, they examined a study where scientists took chimpanzees away from their mothers at birth and put them in a cage alone. And at one end of the cage was a cold, mesh-looking thing that held a bottle. And next to it was a soft, comfortable contraption which had no food, no bottle, but at least it was soft and warm, somewhat inviting, if you will. Which substitute mother do you think the monkeys chose? They chose the soft mother without the food over the cold one with the food. As the monkeys grew, they had serious problems. Old footage showed them cowering in the corner, hardly even able to move as they sucked their thumbs. It was torturous to watch. They were in a sort of living hell because they had never been loved or even held. A very similar thing happens to human infants who, in orphanages, are provided with food and clothing but little, if any, holding or touching. Yes, the great chasm between heaven and hell is aloneness. In Jesus' parable, the rich man's sin was not so much that he was rich, but that he did not take any notice or care for his neighbors in need. He was too self-absorbed, and thus he created his own hell. So what are we, as Christ's followers, to do about this? I believe that sometimes all people need and want should just be noticed. Sometimes all we need is to know that in the midst of terrible and difficult times, somebody cares. When we're feeling lonely, there is nothing like a phone call from a friend just to say hello. Or when we're feeling down a little bit, maybe a simple question from a neighbor, "Are you okay?" It can certainly make all the difference. And of course, we're not okay, but the simple fact that someone took notice of us and asked, that can certainly lift our spirits. We can't weather the storms of life on our own. We all know how freeing and grace-filled it is to be noticed when it seems that our world is caving in all around us. That's one of the very important things about being the church. None of us can go it alone. We're not lone rangers. We are created for life and community, and we need to walk the way with others. We need their support, and they need our support. Many of us find it tempting to make our spiritual journey a private quest because we can't seem to find a church which meets our expectations. And of course, our denomination, the United Methodist Church, is going through that right now in great numbers. But the church is a fellowship of sinners whose lives are just as flawed as our own. What binds us together is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There is a movement afloat toward self-defined spirituality detached from what is called organized religion, which would mean that unorganized religion is superior. It's like the bowling alone syndrome applied to religious life, but it doesn't stand up well. Our Christian lives are to be anchored with others so that we can nurture one another in the things of God, the truth of God. Jesus said, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Jesus lives in each of us who believe, but he promised to be present in a special way in the assembly of believers. Worship in the church is a foretaste of the heavenly feast that links us with all the saints and the angels and all the company of heaven. And you know what? They're all cheering us on. They're cheering us on as we assemble together and as we go out together, inviting others in. We live in the age of aloneness. We all know Lazarus. We see him every day on way too many faces. He's our neighbor, our coworker, our classmates, and yes, he is the homeless man or woman on the street. When we see or hear of someone who is lost, alone, broken down, and hurt, do we simply say, it's a shame, but it's not my problem? Or do we take action? Do we put God's love where the rubber meets the road and do something about it? Jesus did not say in his parable of the great judgment, you killed the hungry, you cheated the naked, you assaulted the poor. He said in effect, when I was hungry, thirsty, naked, imprisoned, when I was desperate for your help, you ignored me. A heart captivated by God's love is what God desires above anything else, because it's a heart that God can use, a heart that is free to love others and to serve others. Many of us have probably seen the movie from many years ago, Schindler's List. Oskar Schindler was a German businessman who saved thousands of Jews from the Holocaust. He employed Jews in his factories. But when these Jews were finally liberated, he broke down in tears, saying, I could have gotten more out. I didn't do enough. You know, I suppose every one of us can say that. When I look at my own life, and when you look at yours, what do we see? So much indifference to the suffering of others, and so many privileges for ourselves. So much more we could have done. There's a mountain of evidence to sink any one of us when we stand before the judgment of God. But that's not the last word. The last word is that in Jesus Christ, God has taken the judgment for us on the cross. And so we live by grace. Jesus has set us free, and we are to celebrate this freedom by seeking to return to God and thus to others all that we can. And God uses even our tiniest faith when acted on to accomplish great things. We, followers of Christ, are like a four-year-old drawing a picture and offering it to her daddy. Beautiful, the father says. And with that same excitement, God also accepts the flawed offerings of our lives. Beautiful, says God, who sees not the flaws but the love made perfect in Christ, which lies behind every Christian action aimed at helping, loving, consoling, healing, and caring for one another. There are so many people in this world who are in need of help. Some are rich, some are poor, but they are all around us. How exciting it is to be given the great privilege and opportunity to change their day from gray to sunny. People are lonely and just need someone to talk to or to invite them to lunch. People are hungry and just need someone to help them get to the community kitchen or to the food pantry in their community. People are lost and just need to be invited to come into this amazing family and community of faith. To us, Christ says, it is your problem. It is your responsibility. Take notice. Love one another as I have loved you. Won't you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for your blessings. Give me a heart for the poor and the suffering. Please strip away all the calluses that I have built up to protect myself from their pain. Please let me love the poor as Jesus loved them and continues to love them right now. Please let my Bible knowledge be a blessing for me, not a curse. And let me be Jesus' disciple in deeds and in words and in action. In his righteous name I pray, as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
wonderful words of life. Oh, so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.